such as the plaintiff, which, by the way, here is the woman apparently responsible for dog napping, to rely upon it and act upon said promise. I mean, a lot of it is sort of standard legal talk. Anyway, McBride is asking for no less than $1.5 million, including for legal fees and mental anguish. And as well as obviously the pain and suffering. So just to recap, the lady who is partly responsible for stealing Lady Gaga's dogs is suing Lady Gaga for not giving her a reward when she returned the dogs.
In what state? Is it California?
LA.
Okay, yeah. Definitely Canada, definitely the UK, and some, but not all, American states have a laugh you out of court sort of unofficial rule that if you're suing someone for something so stupid that the judge is like, what? Then they can just dismiss it. But no, I think LA is one of those states where all litigation needs at least an hour in front of a judge. Nothing gets dismissed outright. So this is going to see court time. Even if it's only 5 minutes for the judge to just look at the lady and say, what are you doing? This is a waste of everyone's time. Go home. And by home, I mean go back to your cell. Like, That's great. Oh, that's a ridiculous story.
Just the audacity of it. Like, the sheer gall of stealing someone's dog and then suing them when they don't give you the reward money is just astonishing.
I mean, you never know. They could say, like, she did say no questions asked. She did offer the reward. She didn't stipulate that...
You're not supposed to be the guy that shot the dog napper. No, you weren't the dog napper that shot the guy, rather. But, I mean, absolutely outrageous. So, moving now to a bit more of a serious story. And that is about two gay men who have died in New York City. One of the men was found dead in his apartment. Another one had died in a taxi. And what the police have identified now is that both of these men were actually substantially robbed. Their credit cards, details, all of that thing taken, bank accounts emptied. But they were drugged prior to their robbing. So I think significant amounts of fentanyl were found in their system. And the concern here from the New York police is that, and we don't know whether or not it's targeted. We know for sure that these are two gay men leaving a gay club in New York. Somebody went with them, provided, you know, drugged them in some fashion. My understanding is that neither of these men had a history of drug use.
Fentanyl, though, is famously easy to get into somebody's body. Like, you can get in through skin contact, for example. And it's even very small amounts in a drink. So even if they just had, like, one drink, it could be that one drink that they had that they shouldn't have had. So, yeah, no, that's pretty horrible and pretty tragic, yeah.
So just to be clear, the New York Police Department, do not believe that it is targeted, but rather people leaving clubs are being targeted.
Right, okay.
Then drugged.
Right.
Then robbed. So, yeah, the need to be careful and abundantly careful is yet again emphasized. Now, moving to Australia with the World Pride and the Sydney Mardi Gras, both one and the same thing, have reached an end. The 17-day festival has finally finished.
Oh, that's too much party.
So much party.
That's too much party.
So much party.
I like a good time, but that's too much party. 17 days.
So the Prime Minister, Anthony Albanese, led a march across the Sydney Bridge, with the Sydney Harbour Bridge, with the Sydney Opera House off in the on the side. 50,000 people marched with the Prime Minister and other LGBT dignitaries across the bridge. Quite for our folks, our listeners and friends in Australia and New Zealand, this was a very big deal. Certainly quite the momentous moment. I believe Australia also announced new funding to support LGBTQ initiatives in the Asia-Pacific region.
Okay.
So, you know, definitely not only trying to improve at home, and there's things to improve in Australia, but also influence in the area. So, yeah, a nice, happy, cheerful 50,000-person march to close out 17 days of festivities.
Do you get the feeling sometimes that pride parades are starting to get to the size where they're about half the size of the audience?
Well, the parade is, like, bigger than the people.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is why I like small prides.
Yeah.
You know, like, although I am split on my opinion of Belleville, Ontario.
Yeah.
One of the best prides I went to was Belleville Pride. Mm-hmm. And it was just a leisurely walk. The parade route was unequivocally too far.
Okay.
And I say this because, you know, it wasn't inaccessible kind of too far. It wasn't the I'm going to need a sit down from this walk too far.
Mm-hmm.
But it was far enough that any kind of audience cheering you on, like, petered out.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're just strolling down a main road for 5 minutes.
Okay.
With traffic going the other way and the odd pedestrian going to, like, the grocery store passing by. Like, when you've run out of crowd, is it really a pride march, or is it just is it a pride march if no one's there to see it?
March, yes. Parade, no.
No. Yeah, okay, yeah, yeah. Parades need an audience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do like a small town pride, though. You go there, you go to a picnic, eat a hot dog.
There was a picnic.
A friend introduces you to some friends, you listen to some music.
All the drag queens are slowly melting under the midday sun.
A lot of the drag queens at small town prides don't get into drag that day because they just want to hang out in jeans.
It's sunny, it's hot. Yeah. Who wants to be wearing that much makeup?
Yeah. And the you can't really put on your lipstick and also drink a beer, so out of a bottle anyway.
The struggle is real.
Yeah, so everyone just sort of hangs out, and then, like, hey, have you met Jill? She lives next door. She grooms dogs. She's even willing to work with huskies.
I know that's bold.
Yeah, I know. So it's like that's what small town pride is like. It's really more like a family picnic or just like a local gathering. Mm. One of the best ones I ever went to was in Sarnia. It was the same basic thing: eat a hot dog, hang out. There's a dance at the agricultural center.
I went to the one in Perth, Ontario, and that was literally just we walked in a square, like maybe it was Kingston.
By square, do you mean like a plaza or
like a block? We did a block. I think it was Kingston.
Okay.
I think we just walked a block.
Okay.
And got back, and everyone was like, "Yay!" Like, achievement unlocked. we've walked a block.
And then you ate a hot dog.
And then you eat a hot dog.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, I think small town prides are definitely where it's at. Hands down.
Yeah.
We are going to jump to our next track of the day. We've got like a Americana, but like Canadiana vibe going. You know, we had Coal Mine by Mother from the album Mother Love, mm-hmm. by Iskwe and Tom Wilson. I believe they're out of Winnipeg, or maybe Iskwe is Cree Métis, Tom Wilson is Mohawk. I'm not sure where they're currently based. Anyway, we're now going to be moving to Nancy Labarge with Just Leave. Mm-hmm. This is very Americana. Folks Roots America singer-songwriter from Calgary. Makes sense. Calgary does make sense. And later today, we're going to be playing out with the Indigo Girls. Where are the Indigo Girls from?
Like Wisconsin or something.
Okay, so not Canadian. Actual Americana with the Indigo Girls. But before we get there, our second queer-identified Canadian artist singing a bit of folk Americana is Nancy Labarge with Just Leave Calgary, Alberta. And we will be back.
If you can't stay, then don't stay. If you need to go, then just go. This ain't some torture test, gut wrench and regret. Can't be who you wanna be. No twisted tale or sinister spell to keep you here with me. be. It's wrecking my mind. Can't make up your mind. This up and down is dragging me down. It's like a guessing game, but the prize is the pain, and I'm winning constantly. If there's nothing left, 'cause you already lived. Get good at gone, don't drag this on. If you've ever cared about me, just leave. Don't waste another breath on sympathy. On your guilt and your big regrets, it's killing me.
Welcome back to Can Queer, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith.
And my name is Sebastian.
And finally, one story that we have been keeping an eye on is a recent campaign by Hershey's Canada. Now, this has been, frankly, tragic, because I feel like this could have just been a non-story that the people didn't really think too much about and then moved on. So just for our listeners who may not be aware, there has been significant backlash to when I say backlash, it's predominantly in the US media, particularly right-wing media circles, who are really critical of it.
Mm-hmm.
Just to give you an idea, Tucker Carlson has taken issue with this campaign from Hershey's Canada.
Mm-hmm.
So Hershey Canada handed over $40,000 over to Girl Up, a group out of Quebec which focuses on women's equity,
okay.
Which is a donation to women's a woman's cause. They had four women feature on some new limited run packaging for Hershey's chocolate bars with their face on it.
Mm-hmm.
It included Autumn Peltier, an Indigenous rights and water activist, Nyla Malour, who is a climate innovator, according to the CBC, Rita Audi, a gender and education equality activist, Kalicia Masala, who founded Girl Up Quebec, and then obviously the last one who's caused really all of the conversation on this,
mm-hmm.
Faye Johnston, who is currently the executive director of Wisdom to Action. Now, we have, both you and I individually, personally, have known of Faye Johnston. I knew Faye prior to their transition when they worked for what was formerly called Jazz Vision.
At least a decade.
So we've been, you know, Ottawa's not a big town.
Yeah.
And we've been aware of lines have crossed. You know, it's a small circle. You become aware of things.
Yeah.
You know, personally, are me and Faye Johnston best friends? Absolutely not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but that's not what's at issue here. The issue is that people have become absolutely outraged that Hershey's Canada when choosing a collection of five women, chose a trans woman.
Yes.
I think it could, I honestly think it could have been any trans woman, and that outrage would likely have remained there.
There's a little bit of discussion about why they chose Faye Johnson in specific. There's been a few people who've gone through sort of the work history, the Twitter history, that kind of thing, and they're taking umbrage with individual things, but I don't think they would have looked into it if they didn't like the fact that it was a trans woman at all. I could see, even actually within the community, there's grumblings of like, maybe someone else, but like that's, again, that conversation wouldn't have started if it didn't start with why do they put a trans woman on a package for Women's Day.
Yeah.
So,
well, first of all, in Canada, and this is straight up fact, this is not up for debate, and I'll tell you why it's not up to debate, because the most notably the BC Human Rights Tribunal said that this is settled law. This is not up for, you know, it's done.
Mm-hmm.
Short of legislative change, it is done.
Mm-hmm.
Trans women who are legally recognized as women in Canada mm-hmm. are women. Okay. Full stop, end of discussion. In the legal sense of the word.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you want to go looking up people's skirts, that's your own inappropriate prerogative.
Mm-hmm.
But legally speaking, in Canada, that is where we are at.
But this is not a case of law. This is a case of whether or not people feel that a trans woman can represent women as a whole.
But then I think this boils down to the question of, are trans women women? And in Canada, at least legally, they are women. Like, that's the settled part of the conversation.
It is, but I mean, you can also disagree with the law. You can say that, okay, they put that law in, but I don't understand why that's there. Like, this is completely politically neutral, at least within the confines of our show, but whether or not speed traps are appropriate or not. Is it just a money grab? Is it a way to reduce speeding on the roads? Whether it's legal or not, people can still disagree with it. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know, It's if it's about representation in the group that you're representing is split about whether or not they feel that that represents them, I think, I mean, if anything, it definitely sparks a conversation about representation mm-hmm. and about trans women as being included as representing women as a group. I don't know. It's, I mean, to put a pin onto it, like, I am not a woman, so I cannot.
Yeah. And we are, say neither of us are trans.
Whether or not a trans woman represents me as a woman, because I'm not a woman. But, I mean, representation in general is complicated, because mm-hmm. anytime you get anyone representing anyone, you are always going to get people saying, they don't represent me. You get that in every single political group there is in the world. It does not matter.
So Faye Johnston issued a statement on their Instagram, which actually since then has been made private due to the sheer the tone of the backlash. Mm-hmm. Anyway, the statement reads, "It was and continues to be an immense honor to be included in Hershey Canada's campaign as a young trans woman and a feminist advocate. Celebrating young women is an important way to show women and girls can change the world. That we are and that we are already creating change around the world. Trans women are women. We face systemic discrimination on the basis of both misogyny and transphobia, from harassment to hate, poverty, homelessness, and more. I am thankful to Hershey's Canada for including me in their campaign. I am proud to be a part of this campaign alongside four brilliant young women and change makers."
Mm-hmm.
And it was. I think that the other four women have become, unfortunately, you know, utterly drowned out. Oren mm-hmm. Peltier, Rita Audi, Nyla Malo, and Clecia Masala. You know, it's just, it is tragic that this has blown up in the way it has.
I mean, of all that, I would say that the Clean Water Initiative, that's something that is critical. Yeah. Absolutely critical. Definitely in some parts of North America more than others, but where it is critical, it is damn important. So for them to be overshadowed is very unfortunate.
Now, the LGBT community in Ottawa and across Canada have rallied behind Faye Johnston. So the executive director of EGAL Canada recently issued a statement saying, you know, really speaking out against the backlash. The area of councillors in Ottawa that are, you know, pro-LGBT have said things. It's, you know, there's definitely been an effort here. I think the Human Rights Campaign, HRC, recently also came out to support Faye Johnston.
Mm-hmm.
But it's worth, like, I cannot undersell the vitriol that has been directed at Faye mm-hmm. since this. When Tucker Carlson has an entire segment where they have, you know, put your Twitter history under a microscope,
mm-hmm.
you know, going back years and years to find a throwaway comment referring to yourself as, well, I'm not going to say it over the air, but, you know, someone who is sexually active.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these throwaway comments that you make years and years ago being, I just, you know, if Tucker Carlson did a segment on me, I would be terrified. You know what I mean? Like, that kind
yeah,
of...
Yeah, but you're not a spokesperson. When you are a spokesperson, you get put under the microscope, whether you like it or not. A lot of media campaigns in the States, before somebody becomes a spokesperson, they will clear their social media history.
But this is not a spokesperson. This is just identifying five thought leaders, putting their face and making a $40,000 donation.
It's kind of the same position as... I mean, it is and it isn't. Yeah, I see what you're saying. But, like, yeah, if you're going to put somebody's face on something, then people are going to want to know who that is.
And they put a small bio out, they did a little video, yeah. and that was about it, you know? No one's deep diving into Nyla Malo's, you know, Twitter history. Or, you know, digging up Rita Audi's Instagram past.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the fact that it's, they have gone so intrusive on Faye Johnston's history. Mm-hmm. In fact, recently she has been deadnamed with old posts being dug up into the spotlight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, me and you have our history with Faye Johnston.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I think, shapes some of our perspective. But I would never wish this kind of invasive witch hunt on anybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's just very unfortunate. So, Hershey themselves said, I don't know why that was a tongue twister,
mm-hmm.
that they will convene young women around the world in the first of its kind future CEO program in partnership with non-profit partners Girl Up and Girls on the Run.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of goes on to say, a part of that is leveraging the iconic Hershey's Milk chocolate bar to celebrate women and girls. The company and its flagship brand, Hershey's, have collaborated again with Girls on the Run in the US and Canada and Girl Up in Markets. So this is, you know, they've been pulling people from all over the place,
mm-hmm.
You know, to put on Hershey's bars. The Hershey bar is what they've released in lots of places. Brazil, Philippines, India, Mexico. But it seems to be just Faye Johnston that is causing all of this backlash.
I mean, I'm surprised no one's having a discussion about why a chocolate company is doing this. Like, that this is kind of corporate meat shield kind of thing. Like, we're gonna prop up a campaign in order to sell chocolate. Like, maybe I'm just being cynical, but I mean, that is sort of normally you would expect this kind of anti-capitalist thing to come out of certain spaces, but people are rallying behind it because of this controversy. I would rather see the UN do this work than Hershey's.
Well, I mean, first of all, the UN is doing their work. But the question here for Hershey's is, you know, can we do something for the Women's History Month? Or should we do nothing? And they chose to do something. And they chose to partner with an organization that operates in Canada, the US, and worldwide. They chose to spotlight women doing incredible work. Mm. And it just so happens that in one of those countries, one of those women is trans.
Mm-hmm.
And Tucker Carlson finds that absolutely abhorrent.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the situation we find ourselves in. It's not ideal. It's not great. But it's where we're at.
I mean, you know, the truth is that Tucker Carlson's probably completely neutral, but it's good clickbait.
Well, we'll see.
It sells the news. He probably doesn't care, and that's just as bad, really. But
well, yeah. It was Tucker Carlson, Women for Trump, and Ben Shapiro, I think, are among the people who have been quite critical.
Yeah, Ben Shapiro cares about all sorts of weird things.
So we are jumping out to our last song. This is The Woods Song by the Indigo Girls. I have been listening.
And I've been Sebastian, and thank you for listening.
For the past 20 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been dedicated to giving you the best content. From a diverse mixture of music and spoken word programs to art reviews and current news affairs, what started out as a music club is now a campus community radio station. So in this spirit, we would like to show our gratitude to all those who have been a source of inspiration and positivity which has made these 20 years colorful, fun, and full of success. CJSF, diverse, independent, yours.